Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Welcome to the very latest edition of the Premier View Tipperary GAA podcast. Don't forget to give us a follow if you haven't done so already on Twitter. We are at Premier View Pod. On Facebook, our page is the Premier View Podcast, and on Instagram, where we are Premier View Podcast. We have up-to-the-minute news on all things Tip GAA across all our socials, plus the odd giveaway, so don't miss out. If you're a Spotify listener, don't forget to hit follow and also hit the bell so that you never miss a podcast episode.
Hello and welcome to the Premier View Podcast, episode number 106. Today I'm joined by Colin Purcell, Sean Smith and Stephen Cronin. We dissect all the action from the last couple of weeks in what was a super Sunday and a super Saturday if you weren't an Offaly supporter and if you were a Cardiff supporter. For Tip, it definitely wasn't a super Sunday as we were very flat with a surprising defeat versus Waterford. Some of you, in fairness, lads, tipped it up that it might be more difficult than I might have thought. I think I tipped up a narrow victory for Tipperary, but it wasn't to be. As the final whistles drew close, it was becoming a tense thing. You know, Limerick and Cork very tight. Tip fucking beating up the sticks. Where else could I start today but go to Colum? You called the Colum, I suppose. You felt that there might be a kick in Waterford, but Jesus, none of us saw that coming.
Yeah, Kevin, I thought there'd probably be a kick in Waterford. I didn't realise that there'd be absolutely no kick and tip and that we'd be so lifeless. I suppose, look, I do recall you mentioning 15 points as a winning margin. We might as well throw it out there right from the start.
I was nervous. I might have been right at one stage. I don't know.
You know, I think
50 points for a tip.
Yeah, look, we can laugh about it now, but in all fairness, coming into the last, you know, 5 or 10 minutes at the match, it was becoming farcical in my mind that we were ever in this position. And like, It's only 10 days ago since the match or whatever, but like, I've tried to erase it from my memory. But one of the things I wrote down after the match, probably in anticipation of talking about it here, was like our game management. I mean, before we go into anything else, like if we just start in our game management, and the two areas that worried me the most on the day, and like every Tip fan, I'm sure, first of all, was our puck outs. And I'm sure the lads will talk about the puck outs in more detail than I'm going to. But I mean, I don't know what the statistics were for our puck outs, but it was absolutely horrendous. It was mystifying. It was strange. It was hard to look at, to be honest with you, to see us giving up the puck out each and every time. Half-hearted tackles going in. Waterford man gets up to the 45 or to the 65 and is allowed to do what he wants with it, put in the perfect ball into their forward line or even pop the ball over the bar. You know, I found that really, really mystifying. And the second thing about the game management, Kevin, I just mentioned is, like, every man, woman and child knew the scenario going into last Sunday's game. If we were to lose you know, don't lose by more than 5 points, you know. So going into the last 10 or 15 minutes, like what we were doing, trying to walk the ball in for goals, I really don't know. It should have been, it was, could have been easily communicated onto the team. Keep the scoreboard taken over. Whatever happens, the game looks like it's gone. Keep that 5 points in mind and make sure you don't lose by more than that. To be dependent on flipping Limerick beating Cork, or the game, sorry, the game in Limerick not being a draw at the end was, oh Jesus, was like, and even when that result was called out in Semple Stadium, I don't know if you remember, lads, it barely raised a cheer. I think people were just so disappointed with what they'd seen, Kevin, that they couldn't cheer it. And the last thing, just as well, and maybe I go on a bit too much about this sort of shite talk, but I really thought that it was a chance for a Tip Hurling team to reconnect with the Tip Hurling public. Okay, there was a huge Tip crowd up there. In fact, I've never seen, and it's, I don't blame the Waterford fans in a way for this, but I've never seen a county so outnumbered at a championship game than I did last Sunday week. And there was a lot of people at the game who I know personally who hadn't been to a game for a while. They'd brought family, kids, girlfriends, boyfriends, that kind of stuff. And they must have been wondering why after it all, you know. And I think in fairness to Liam Cahill, he didn't shirk that afterwards. He said that the players felt that they had let down, you know, the Tip public, you know. And Cahill, in fairness, gave a very honest interview after the game as well. And he touched on some of the things I've spoken about. But I just thought it was an opportunity lost, Kevin, maybe for, you know, to reignite the Tipperary public's passion with that team. Just the whole thing felt very flat at the end of it.
Oh, absolutely. Just to, for the lads come in there to stick up on Sean Flynn's point, he did the stats from the puckouts, and it set the tone for the game. Waterford scored 6 points in the first half from turning over Tipperary on the play off their short puckouts. So 6 points off Tipperary short puckouts. Tip hit 13 short puckouts in the first half in total, and on one occasion it resulted in Tip possession in the Waterford half. So with a total wipeout, the stats would back up what you're looking on the shorts puckouts. Doesn't stop there though. Tipperary were passive on Waterford's own short restarts then, with the Daisha scored 4 points and hit four wides in the opening half off their own short puckouts there. So they got 8 shots off. Tip got one possession. So, I mean, it really showed, I think, that there was a complete Tip systems failure. And I think you alluded to that in Liam Cahill's interview. Again, it's the social media lads tweeted and stuff after. He was absolutely crestfallen. I think he was shocked as well. And I think, you know, they say with managers, you probably don't get as high and as low in public as maybe. But I think that, you know, if that's what we're seeing in public off him, then you can be sure that he left the dressing room and, you know, they definitely weren't in two minds about how badly let down some of the people at that game left. Sean, you were, I suppose, one of the ones, you know, I suppose maybe in a couple of minutes late there, and probably thought, you know, was it just a slow start for Tip and we'd pick it up and we'd drive on, or do you think it ever kind of...
Yeah, walked in a few minutes late and I sat down and was like, looked at the scoreboard and wondering...
Didn't stop going up.
It'll be all right. You know, I was thinking how we had an attempt on goals and the lad beside me was like, no, nothing. I think like our first shot on goals... The play was 15 minutes in or something outrageous. Like. And I was kind of in awe at times as well. And then Waterford players like Hutchinson, these lads who weren't great during the year, just shone. Like, I think Waterford had 17 points half-time and weren't the only average of 17 points a game up until now as well. Like, so, first, then it was like, a Waterford does at a different level or are we just shocking? And I think Waterford were very good, but we had no, it was just complete wipeout. I think there's no way back. They kind of tried a bit, but we just looked flat, dead, Waterford up. It was just, and as you say there at the end of the game, people were kind of in shock that what happened, didn't really cheer, even the centre after, I was in early just into the bar next door, like, and the game was tight and people worried, like, in the full time whistle, people kind of left, there was a roar, just left in the car and went home. And like I say, some lads during this moment were like fucking banging wheels.
It would have been angry. A nuclear moment, wouldn't it?
Yeah. No, like,
if we'd gone out, like, you know, if that other game had finished the draw, like, Jesus.
Oh, he was open about the Jameson, I say. I was still about scoring him. You know, like,
it was. You'd still be on it, I'd say, to be honest. Like,
it was just, it's relief kind of now looking back at it. I'm kind of reading reports and stats, but when you see the stats and reports are backing up that his tip were completely flat, like there's nothing wrong with mentally or that, it's just physically just blown out of it there, hurling wise. Like Munster is a hard slog. We thought playing a team that did rubber last, that were gone, fine, but kind of a, it's kind of a homecoming kind of game. No, that atmosphere you say around, I say Watt fans wrote number one to fifth, like it was unreal, but the two players didn't bring that kind of game to it. And you know, the Limerick game before and in Cork, if they just put a toll on them. But now 3 week break is, I take this to be honest, like, and this is kind of a good period to regroup, like.
And Stephen, you called it there, I suppose, the worst kept rumour in Waterford this week, so I couldn't have taken the tip that's vice for eyes, Billy Nolan going in as a sweeper. You know, and I suppose the team, the changes are being called out, and I think it was Conor Gleese and Jamie Barron were named as well, and Conor Prunty and Billy Nolan, and Pat Fitzgerald came in. I forget who the other lad who even came in was, but like, you know, they would have been prepared, but like on that performance alone, you're talking all-star material, aren't you? Like, you just got the freedom of Simple Stadium.
Yeah, that was, and that was the poor part of that whole scenario was, this was his first time out the field at inter-county level, and we made him look like an all-star, and it's hard to know, was it a tactical thing, or is it a fear of a sweeper? You know, like it. Look, I suppose before I go any further, we're where we want to be, where we wanted to be from the start of the year. We're out of Munster. We're in the All Ireland series, and look, from what the boys have given us so far this year, you'd allow them a scuttery day, but that scuttery day nearly cost us a place in the All Ireland series. I can fully understand a mental fatigue from the previous week. I wouldn't buy the physical one, because these lads are prepared so well. The recovery sessions, like it's almost professional setup. So these lads are ready to go physically a week later. Mentally, what kind of toll did the Limerick game take out? It looked that the match against Waterford looked like a mixture of complacency and mental fatigue, because we were making mistakes there that we weren't making all year. Like, just touch back to Colin's point, or the stats. Going short and working the ball out was one of our strong points this year. All our hurlers, all our lads in the back line are fantastic hurlers. They move the ball through the line so well, even in the highest of intensity games against Limerick, they were able to do it no problem. We couldn't do it against Waterford. We were running for the ball. I don't really want to be name-checking, because everyone was very poor the other day. Bar Conor Bow, I removed Conor Bow from that equation. But we were going with 5 yards on a man, and we were going to dip a ball, and we slowed down to dip it. Now, if you see another 12 doing that, he ended up getting dispossessed. But if you see another 12 doing that, you'd be pulling him aside and say, that's not how you do that. You know, we're running up the middle of the field, nobody on us, catch the ball 3 times. These are mental errors that simply means your body's moving 100 miles an hour, but your brain is not able to think along at that speed as well. So I'd give him a pass in that sense that, look, mentally, the lull after the Limerick game, it was just coming. And add in then playing against a team who have nothing to lose, you know, they're only going up to play with a bit of pride, and the shackles are actually off, they're allowed to actually hurl. And let's not forget, Waterford actually a good team. It's just they have a bad manager. It was tough going. The whole Billy Nolan situation really annoyed me, because by default, we ended up having a sweeper. So tactics from the line, this is on Niamh Cahill, not the players. But we left them take a short puck out. Their short puck out was to the 45. And they still had an acre then and a world of time to deliver the ball. But because we had, by default, a sweeper, because they initiated the sweeper, all our 6 forwards should have pushed up on their backs, because we still had an extra man. You know, I'd rather 6 forwards against 7 backs in their half in their half of the field on their pockets than what do we have? We had 10 lads inside our own half at one stage. It was a very poor game tactically, along with our lads just. They just weren't up for it. Physically, be it physically or mentally, we just weren't at the races. And by the skin of our teeth, we qualified out of Munster. And look, I suppose when there's a big mental drop that bad, I know hindsight is easy and this and that, but it's probably best we didn't make a Munster final. You know, could we have been able for a Munster final and then an All-Ireland quarterfinal after that? I don't know. But it was an infuriating day.
You'd be more deflated if you were hammered out the gate in a Munster final now at this stage, wouldn't you? It'd be less...
Well,
you'd have less time to recover and all that. Like, we're into sudden death now with Tip. We talk about the off-day game coming, but, like, you know, at the start of the year, and I said, look, we were in a very different position because we got the Munster final in our sights. You would have took third place, avoid the pressure of a Munster final, and you don't have a handy one and come in against, like, the losers, a Leinster then, who'll also be a bit, like, so... It's just the way it went, maybe, is a bit just more questions to answer, maybe, would have thought. It might go back to, you know, the mentality there, losing leads late on. We kind of mentioned on the pod before, this was something completely different, as it never got going, which is... But, you know, look, Liam Cahill does have a record of turning around, you know, like from reverse, I'm thinking the Cork Munster finals in the under-21 into delivering in All-Ireland. And so... We might come with a gallop there yet, is what I'm thinking. Silver linings and all that.
Yeah, I'd agree with you in a sense, like, but in the moment, on the day and even the day after, like, it's a frustrating performance. Frustrating, like, look, if we went out there and we had a great performance and we were best, we'd be frustrated, but I don't think we'd have been as demoralized as we were. Like, we nearly threw away an All-Ireland series by relying on someone else to get a result, and that was very nearly a draw. You know, that was the frustrating bit. We removed qualification out of our own hands. You know, whether we got to a Munster final or qualified through the back door, let's call it, we put it in someone else's hands. And I don't think Tipperary should ever, there should be big lessons learned from this, and we should never ever go down that route again. Now, hindsight is great and silver linings and all that. Tipperary should beat Offaly next week. They should be beaten Offaly next week. I'd like to think then going up against the Leinster finalists. I fancy Tipperary going in there now, and I don't want to be getting ahead of myself, but maybe this pass is...
Don't after last week.
But look, I trust Cahill and Bevans to get the boys firing again. You know, they have a history of doing it, as you said. So, look, I think one brain fart or one scuttery performance, I don't think is... I'd say that's going to be it for the year, hopefully.
Yeah, and look, lads, I suppose the, you know, Offaly were flying maybe a few weeks ago, probably went into the Joe McDonough final against Carlow's favourites. They're under 20s, or, you know, they brought a big crowd down to Turles there on Sunday there. But, like, they lost them both. So, it does feel now this preliminary quarter final, like, has come a bit late for him as well. Maybe they'd rather not, like, at this stage, you know, because, look, I'm going to go again. It should be, like, a 15-point win for Tip, shouldn't it?
Carlo should have bet off each other. Like, no. Carlo. Like, I was watching that game, like, you know, and I looking at, like, it's chalk and cheese, lads. You know, like, anyone, I'm probably saying Tip have gone through it. Jesus, go out and hurry. No, do
yeah, if you look at the results in Leinster against the bottom teams, your Westmeath and your Laois, and then like Carlow, Offaly,
they're blowing it
as well.
Yeah.
Look, I could be a hurling snob here. Yeah. Carlow should not be beating Offaly. Carlow should not be beating Offaly in hurling. That's hurling snobbery. And you know, Offaly can't.
You're looking at Offaly in their 90s. Like,
no, this, no, but there's still more traditional hurling county than Carlow are. You know,
Marsh on the old lads down the Mount Leinster Rangers and the like.
what do you want to see from that game? Do you want to see Cahill go with a full team that he play into the quarter final or go with
one? There's that balance there, isn't it? I'm getting lads back in you. It is a week long turnaround.
It's a week, it's following week, following Saturday. So, like, it's a 4-week break from the last game, but then it's only back to back weeks as well. Like,
I suppose you have to get the confidence back, don't you?
Yeah.
You have to test, you have to road test, lads. And if he's at, and well, to see like Jason Ford, I think would be back, would be the biggest kind of get like what, 55, 60 minutes into him? Would be the biggest. Carl Barrett, hopefully, was only a minor knock again.
Yeah. And did Niall O'Mara make an appearance there recently? So you could get game time into him without actually starting him, you know? So, like, without overdoing it, without. Again, without being complacent, this is probably where you get a few minutes into lads here now, especially ahead of the following game.
Yeah, Garrod O'Connor presumably tighter out of it. I don't think it was broken.
Maybe it's a Bonner and Noam McGrath give him half a game. You know, don't. Like, you know, their lads need going in to quarterfinals. Like.
I suppose that's the good thing. They will have looked at the lads, I suppose, from the Limerick game to the Waterford game, the real drop-offs there. And who can they mind, lads, a bit?
I think as well, lads, we said, I have to be careful a little bit. A bit like your 15 points, Kevin. I have a very good friend of mine in Dublin who's a big Dublin GA fan, and he is continually quoting me calling Leinster hurling middling. And I'm on a hiding to nothing now coming into the Offaly game with him. But
we're playing the Conference League now on a.
This is it, Kevin. But I think as the boys have said, the ideal situation for me anyway as well would be to get Jake Morris back on the field. I think he was a big loss against Waterford. Jason Ford back in the field, Carl Barrett back in the field. You know, you'd like to be in a situation where, you know, you could start them, give them 50, 55 minutes. Hopefully we're in front. You could take them off and that they'd be ready then for the game the following week, because you don't want lads going in cold either. Lads who've been injured and you're not 100% sure about them going in to face either Galway or Kilkenny in an All-Ireland quarter-final. I don't think that would be an ideal situation. I think if a guy is going to make it, he'll be ready to play Offaly and then he'll be ready the following week, if that makes sense. So I think, you know, that'll be one thing. I think there's a couple of changes as well, maybe, that management might look at. I thought they could have freshened things up a little bit against Waterford, funnily enough. I thought the backs that were selected against Waterford wouldn't have been the six backs I'd have selected playing that Waterford team. And not to be dwelling too long in the Waterford game, to be fair to Waterford, like, they were missing Austin Gleeson, they were missing Prunty, they were missing Jamie Barron. Like, they were missing as many good players or as many as their top players as we were. And I slightly disagree with the lads in one sense, in that I actually don't think Waterford were great against us. I don't think they had to be great against us. Honestly, the narrative was, you know, Waterford were brilliant and showed, you know, let the shackles off and, you know, hurled with gusto. I actually didn't think they were great on the day, lads, to be honest with you. I thought it was more about the poverty in our game. It was so flat. It was so dead. It was, you know, now, no better man, hopefully, than Cal to turn it around. As you said, Kevin, he has previous with this, with the under-21s. I remember being down in Cork at a 21 final and we got our arses handed to us and we went along and won the All-Ireland afterwards. And I'm not in any way going to come on here and criticise Cal or Bevins at the moment or any of the management team. I think they've done a super job to get us to where we are. But I think we have to probably temper our, like, there was a lot of this, and I was guilty of it myself, this tip our back and, you know, are we sort of dark horses for the All-Ireland? I think any of that talk was absolutely expelled last Sunday week, and expelled in a big way, you know. But I don't, like, some people get hung up on this, and we see it on Premier View at times, like, you know, you have to be careful what you say, because, you know, if Offaly hear that we think we're going to win, like, that'll make them beat us or some crap. Like, it doesn't work like that. And I think for supporters, if you win a game or, you get a good result like we did against Limerick, you're entitled to enjoy it and let off a bit of steam and have a bit of crack about it, you know. But at the same time, what we saw against Waterford, like, I think supporters are equally entitled then to question it and go, well, hold on a minute, like, that wasn't good enough. And as I said, a lot of people went to the game, a lot of people who I know were sort of on the fence about the team, and it was just a bit flat, as Sean said at the end, just a little bit disappointing. So I think I'd be starting our strongest team against Offaly personally. I think, you know, the boys have said it's knockout hurling now, it's senior hurling, I can get our strongest team
and
out.
I did that, Colin, like, we don't know what kind of a Kilkenny or Galway we're going to be facing. So we see that Leinster final and we see them both, you know, put to the pin of their collar. Like, Galway looked awful again for much of the game against Dublin, but when they were really under pressure, you know, they got the run of scores and stuff, and they looked like, you know, Dublin completely kind of, they snuffed them out completely when they had to. It's like, you know, there was an extra gear there. Kilkenny, like, you know, they got goals against Wexford and that, but, like, Jesus, that was just so loose and like, you know, obviously meant a lot to Wexford staying up, but, like, Kilkenny, surely be completely different now on Sunday.
I agree, Kevin. It's a new competition as well in the All-Ireland series. Like, and, you know, two counties that you can be sure will raise their game against Tip are Galway and Kilkenny. Like, Galway and Tip and Galway takes on a life of its own in knockout hurling. Like, we've seen some epic games. Like, there was 3 or 4 years there where there was a point in each game, in each semi-final, one side or the other. Like, I would almost disregard what's going on in Leinster and Munster. It's a new competition, as far as I'm concerned, when it starts. And, you know, I just hope that we haven't lost momentum, or we haven't lost confidence, or we haven't lost the belief that Cal has put into them. And, you know, the boys have touched on it there as well. And one thing, just, we were so close to going out. So we've been given a second chance now. Let's take it by the two hands. Let's make no mistakes in Tullamore next Saturday night. Move on then to a quarter final against Galway or Kilkenny. And I'd love to be playing Kilkenny and Cork, lads. That would be my preference at the moment. I think it'd be great to go down to Kilkenny and play Cork. Or sorry, down to Cork and play Kilkenny.
Yeah, and at least we're kind of in a good position as well. We see Galway and Kilkenny both going at it. They'll be going full pelt there Sunday. They'll know that's, this is their season starting now. Like, this is it. This is their plan, like, you know. So we see them in full pelt, and hopefully then we kind of get a judge off that and see from there. It's a good position. Like, you know, we have to take some positive out of it.
Definitely.
Yes, right. That's on to, I suppose, like the main game of the weekend, the Munster final, the what if final, I suppose, from our perspective. But like, Stephen, on to you, it's going to be another battle there. Limerick playing the mind game, somehow getting it into the Gaelic grounds. So clear, it's either a master stroke on they're gone very climate conscious and stuff, not wanting to travel the course. So I don't know, they're happy to see the advantage to Limerick, but like, Jesus. How do you see this one going?
I think that's a strange one. And it's not just because Limerick are Ireland champions are the number one team. Why, who in their right mind, bar an agreement, who in their right mind would want to play a Munster final in the opposition's home ground? Like it's just Clare with a K. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. But, you know, they're going to go in there now banging doors and breaking tables and this, like, I would not be surprised to see Limerick run out handy winners. You know, they got that win there a few weeks ago. Like, if Limerick, obviously Limerick are a great team, but you'd be like, Limerick are coming for them big time now. You know, that they got the first win in the Gaelic grounds in its existence. There's no way Limerick are gonna let that happen again. And I think they'd be sent packing back up the roads with egg on their face. I think that was a joke decision. Like, if I was a tip man and a south tip man, I'd rather travel up past Galway rather than play Galway in the home ground. If you understand what I'm saying, how they came to the decision is just beyond me. But on the game itself, I think it's going to be a savage physical affair. And the team that acclimatized to the physicality force.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
We'll come out on top. I do think if Limerick can do a tip on it, what Carl Barrett did to Tony Kelly, that'll be key for Limerick. You know, I don't think you can leave Tony Kelly off to do whatever he likes. You know, he can be held. You know, he's been well held against tip most of the time, and he was well held by Wexford up until a point last year. I think it was Damien Reck could have been marking him or something, but then went off injured, or, you know, and then he had free reign and Clare took over. So I think they need to get on top of him big time. And I think Limerick will win this. I couldn't disagree
with you more.
I don't think comfortably, but I think they'll win by a few to spare. That's what I'd be going for.
I'm starting to really like this Clare team as the kind of number two challengers to Limerick.
But will they beat three times in a year, though? Like,
that's what I'm thinking now. Like, you know, they won't, I think, is the answer.
Three times in a year, but also
the most clear thing of all time, they'll beat them on Sunday, I think. And they won't show up in the All-Ireland final then, you know, when Everton's on the line against them. Or they...
Like, that against Limerick last day, Clare, like, Kelly, they have 5 points. They'd last poking off scores there for sport. Like, they're
just the
they're scoring points all over the field. This is the thing. If Limerick can stop them points from play, they'll do it. But it's going to be hard, like, to that. Limerick won't exactly love man-marking people either. If Limerick love playing a free game, going forward and says, no, leaving that space. That's what Clare.
Yeah, but even that Limerick, you know, even that kind of big Limerick kind of kick that we all thought was coming, only saw them get over a point against Cork. You know, when Everton was on the line for them, look, you say, look, a point is as good as 10 points for them, like, but, you know, I just think that they're vulnerable there. And, like, the clear forwards for me, if they click, like, and yeah, look, they're after bringing on a whole heap of Stephen saying, like, you know, you have the Limerick crowd right revved up for this kind of bit of cockiness coming onto their patch and stuff. But, geez, if they can put them under a bit of pressure, I'm not sure if Limerick are, you know, mentally fully tuned up yet. Now, again, Limerick going to a quarter final, who they have then? You know, if they lose, geez, they'll have Dublin or something. You know, you may as well put them in the semi final there and then. Like, if those happen,
the winners of Leinster, then.
Yeah, so they could, like, for me, I know, Colin, like, am I mad again? Give them Clare a chance or Limerick back to the best?
No, I give Clare a chance as well. The way I'm a bit like Stephen, that is it a really Clare with a K thing to do? Is it a supreme show of confidence by management in his team that he said, we'll take them on, we'll play them again, you know? And so, you know, just thinking that, and you know, this Clare team, like, this is what Lone's third year involved is it with them, you know? So, like, they're a good bit down the road, they're quite a bit ahead, I suppose, in their preparation. We are in our first year with Lee, maybe. Clare's confidence, it's a Munster final, like, you wouldn't give them a chance. I mean, the best game Limerick got, Munster final against them. Clare have beaten them already this year. Like, maybe Lone, this is their time, you know. And, like, at the end of the day, a Munster final is probably, well, there's no probably, it's the second biggest competition you can win in hurling at the moment. You know, I think the boy said earlier on that it probably is a year or two too soon for us, but Jesus, you take the hand off someone for a Munster final on Sunday, wouldn't you?
You know, and I think you're right. I think this Clare team are basically at their peak now, and they need
the last Clare's last Munster final mid-90s, no? Victory.
Remember Tip hammered him, I'd say, about 2008 and won anyway.
What's the mid-90s? 98 or 9, I say.
The last one they won was it 98 or 2001? Well, it wasn't 2001, 2002. What? I think they're like 22 years whenever that is, something like that, so without winning one. I'm sure someone will correct me on that after hearing it, but...
Nearly as long as Cork's All-Ireland famine anyway,
isn't
it?
They have an awful
lot of motivation. Ridiculous for a 5-team tournament anyway, but...
They have an awful lot of motivation going into this. And, you know, it's so long since the Munster Championship. Then it's straight into an All-Ireland semi-final. I just think what'll tip it in Limerick's favour is Cian Lynch and Gerard Hegarty seem to play themselves into a bit of form against Cork. Aaron Gillan has another few weeks under his belt. Remember, after a real slow start to the season when he was off playing soccer and whatever else he was doing. You know, so are they starting? Look, I know they had a little bit of a break coming into the Tipperary game, but that was the biggest game for Tipperary of the year. You know, so it was going to be a ferocious battle. Then they'd Cork the following week. That Cork, they kind of always give them problems at times. Now they have a couple of weeks to get, especially with Cian Lynch's injury. You know, if you can get him porn, you know, that's why I tip it in Limerick's favour. Now, that being said, they were extremely lucky to beat Cork with the fake penalty and the throw ball that Jake Morris was pulled for. He was pulled on against Limerick for that overhead hand pass, and Donoghue was able to do it the following week, you know. Yeah. So, look, they'll have to have one good game at least, you'd be thinking. And for me, it'll be coming in the Munster final.
They've been so on the fence.
There. the likes of Keane Lynch, like against Clare at Leicester, very quiet. No, like, did you want really know Land, the Free as well. So them lads are a step above now. They are like, they're, you know, they should be different now.
I don't know who's refing it, Sean Dinoz. It's not John Keane again, is it? Just,
oh no.
Is Keane Lynch be in for some treatment if it was? I'm sure it's not like after last year's
Galway lad, is it?
No, Liam Gordon is refing it.
Liam Gordon. Yeah. Joe Duffy better clear the decks for Monday anyway. If there is any.
It's 1998, last time Clare won a Munster final. Limerick going for five in a row.
Famous Munster final in Thurles, Sean, if you remember. That was the day that Colin Lynch and Tony Brown went at it in the middle of the field. Isn't that?
Oh, that's four for that. Yeah.
That was after the replay, wasn't it?
Yeah.
He was hitting Ollie Baker at one stage, was he?
Yeah. So yeah, it's a long time ago. Jesus, it is a long time ago. I give Clare every chance, to be honest with you. As the boys have said, like Limerick, like we're waiting for Limerick to explode onto the championship. Although to be fair to them, the game against Cork was a cracking game, you know, really enjoyable game. It was a game actually I'd love to have been at in one sense, only for, you know, we were in Thurles, obviously. It was a super game, really, you know, fast paced, highly charged, big crowd there, like nice day. It looked fantastic. And you'd have to, like, before we go off the Munster championship, like, I mean, I it's not that I give a crap really, but like Cork were very unfortunate to get knocked out, weren't they? You know, they were knocked out effectively by 1 point. You know,
yeah, just fine margins.
Yeah, very, very fine margins. Like, you know, and I know they won the under 20 on Sunday there against Offaly, and you know, that would make up for it in a small way. But you know, the famine there, as I said, goes on another year for them, and
it doesn't. I want to actually talk about that, Colin, as well, not the famine, but like, you know, if we further dilute the Gaelic structures, I mean, look, there was actually football on last weekend, if any didn't, you know, there was like, and barely, you got crowds of 8,000 each for, you know, games. And like, you know, the Munster Championship is the one thing that's dog eat dog and stuff. If we, look, we have it, we love it. And if we say four goes through or something like that, it could make the first couple of months in the GA kind of inter-county championship structure, like, a complete waste of time. I mean, it only gets going when it gets to knock out Ireland or knock out anything, really. Like, so, I mean, do we just have to accept that and design our structures to meet, kind of have some hybrid league or something like that? Or is it a case where we go like the goal games and we find it nearly impossible to actually knock out teams?
No, you need that bit of cut. Something has to be on the line. There's no point in waiting until the end of the season for things to come alive, like, you know. So like, look, as tough as the Munster Championship is, and Cork did waltz through Leinster, you'd be thinking, like, you know what I mean, easily top three if not top two. But that bit of cutthroat is needed, that bit of championship knife edge is needed as well. So like, you know, it's hard to see it change. And in fairness, there's not too much whinging coming out of Cork now to be knocked out by a point.
No, to do more, as you said, like,
they're so close in games, Cork. They never, like, they're a point away in all games. Like, they weren't, like, undrawn. Like, they're a score away. They just couldn't get these scores in the needle. Like, you know, they three games to get these scores, and they couldn't do it. Like, that's another way of looking at it.
Jeez, and the more I think back to it, was the Clare one that.
Your man scored a point in 100 yards.
Yeah, like, Kelly took a dive. Kind of had the free turned over, I think was probably what cost them. Like, you know, very clean margins.
But still, Cork could have seen out during that game, got a score, or killed the game. You know, like, that's the way it is. Probably could have been us.
Exactly. Just lads, on the Leinster final, who are you tipping? Stephen, I'll go to you first.
I'm going to go with Galway. I think the loss of Adrian Mullins. It's going to be a big one for Kilkenny, broken thumb or something, so he's gone for the rest of the championship. I think that's going to be a huge blow for Kilkenny, and I think Henry will really win the championship against his own, which won't go down well.
It won't go down well at all, Colin. Digress from that prediction.
I kind of the law of averages, Kevin, tells me that Galway are probably due, if that makes sense. So
Henry has to justify his existence there, doesn't he?
Yeah, I'll kind of go with Galway. As Steve said there, like, Adrian Mullins a huge loss for Kilkenny. they weren't great against Wexford. No, I take your point that Galway weren't great against Dublin. But yeah, look, I'll give a tentative vote to Galway. Not that I hate backing against Kilkenny, but like, you know, usually when I back against Kilkenny, they do what Kilkenny do. They turn up and they win. But yeah, look, I'll go with Galway on this one.
Sean?
Yeah, Galway, I think they have more firepower in the forwards there. The Kilkenny forwards are a bit, they're a bit aged, you could say. No, and young lads haven't kind of sprung yet. So Galway by 2 or 3, I think.
Yeah, I'll go at fiver on the draw double, I think. Then
the ultimate fence sitter.
The ultimate, yeah.
No, I may as well go do no goal scores by Rat either.
Clear and Jesus Galway, just because, you know, just when they do get going, they seem to be able to score points from everywhere. So on that, the Offaly Rising, lads, before we wrap up, I suppose it was dampened a bit, both in the under 20 at the weekend. Some great points that young Screeny come in for rough treatment, but he can probably get used to that over the next few years.
I have to mention Brian Gavin's role, and I was reading the Examiner out here on Monday, Kevin Online, and I have to laugh at Brian Gavin sort of, you know, jump into young Screeny's defence as if like that the referee had a duty of care to look after the Offaly forward, which, you know, you take the point up to a point, but then you remember that. Where was Brian Gavin's duty of care towards Tipperary's Seamus Callanan when he was getting shouldered into the chest by Jackie Terrell, or he was Tommy Welsh was flailing a hurley around the place as well, you know? So you kind of have to take some of this with a pinch of salt. Like, you know, it's great to see Offaly back in one sense, because we said here before, like, hurling needs more strong counties. It needs more competitiveness. And for that, it's good to see Offaly back. I was reading Premier View today as well, and just some of the stuff about, like, Tip being critical of Cork because it's felt that Cork were a little bit physical on the day. Like, I'm sorry, but that's a load of shite as well, because you do what you have to do to win a game, okay? Yeah. And if Cork were physical on the day, good luck to them. They've won the All-Ireland. And instead of us bitching and moaning about, you know, how physical Cork were, we should be looking at our own team and thinking, you know, how do we get back to winning minor and under 20 so that we ensure that we're going to be competitive going forward? Because see, going very well in the minor championship. Cork, I think, have won 4 of the last 5 All-Irelands in under 20 hurling now. You know, like the Munster championship that we were just talking about, it's going to become even more difficult to win going forward. Like, so, you know, I know you've asked me about Offaly, but I'd be saying it's great to see them back, but
I don't think they're back. I mean, look, they're playing Joe McDonagh again next year, and I know they said, look, they have a young team coming, but like, they're not even at the level of Leash and Westmead and Antrim. They're miles back before they're back to what they were, and I don't think Wexford got one provincial or whatever since what they're the was it 2004 they picked up one as well. That's 2 in 20 years plus. Like, that's awfully hard. They're back as much as Tip are, I'd say, at this stage. But
that's the type of thing that will be replayed on this next week, Kevin.
Being back for Offaly? What does being back entail? Like, getting back to 2007 levels when you're getting absolutely hockeyed off? Like, they were bad for a long time.
And Offaly only had the only 2 lads that scored the other day, actually. Screeny and a man, Ravenhill, I think. Could be wrong now, but
jeez, that must be wrong. But I won't question it. No,
I remember reading Arthur Hogan Raids on control to see what Offaly did. But like, the thing was, Cork were 15 points for a team. They did use hard tactics, but like, they weren't. If Offaly by a point, you say maybe red card here, maybe red card there.
That was a red card in the first half.
The ref couldn't see it, though. I saw back, it's still behind the goal. The ref was blindsided. His umpires should have called it then. Yeah. But the umpires don't call these, you know. No. So
isn't it grand from a Cork perspective that they're being spoken about being over physical again? You know, from years and years of tippy tappy non contact hurling, they're being criticised for being too physical at the last weekend. Which, from I suppose a hurling respectful hurling rivalry in a sense, it's great to hear. You know, like I'd agree with Collins. This crack of Tip people saying, Cork were too physical, they should have this and that. Look, they were allowed to step across the line, they got away with it. Of course, if hopefully it's not needed next week against Offaly, but the following week, if we get over Offaly, please God, and we're going out against Kilkenny or Galway, and if Alan Tynan crosses the line 3 or 4 metres and gets away with it, we'd be praising him coming down the road. You know, like, you want these lads playing on the edge, and look, if they get away with stuff, if they get away with a bit of roughhousing, so be it. It's up to you to not to let that happen, not be bullied, like, you know, and it's like, look, Screamy's a great hurler and all that, like, but that's part of his game that's going to have to be brought on a ton, because I see it's a ridiculous tweet, I'm going to call it, is, will Adam Screamy be playing against Tipperary next week?
I saw that, yeah.
Like, that's extremely dangerous, because he was bullied at under 20 level. Could you imagine what Carl Barrett...
That's what they're clinging on to, you know?
And he's a wonderful hurler. He's a wonderful hurler. But you compare him to the great Owen Kelly from when Owen Kelly was 18-year-old. Owen Kelly was a man at 18, you know, physically. It's not the same for Screen.
Kelly would have hit you back. Like,
you know? Yeah, but like, remember the hit against for Molly Baker that time?
Yeah.
Owen Kelly could deal with that. He got up. Like, if that happened to a young lad like Adam Screeny, the size he is now with the conditioning of Intercounty Hurlers now, it would hurt him in a bad way. You know, and throwing out stupid tweets and put pressure on Offaly management to get him in, leave the young fella alone. He's done now for the year, leave him back to his club. And I think it'd be a dangerous game to play, because he could get really hurt at inter-county level.
This is his first year, actually. He was under 17 last year, so this would be his first year playing out of club hurling.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you know, and you'll even find the difference there, like, against grown men. You know, as talented he is, he's brilliant. But to be a 25-year-old, 6-foot corner back there that's physically strong, that's quick, and, you know, he'll have to adjust the club level. Don't throw him in at senior inter-county level. Leave him alone for a few years.
Did I see a tweet someplace that somebody was comparing him to Nicky English and Owen Kelly? I mean,
And Jimmy Dyle, yeah.
That's not doing the lad any favours either, like, you know, putting that, even that sort of pressure onto him, you know. And I don't think he's even eligible to play senior hurling this year, if I'm not mistaken, for Offaly. So I don't understand why.
He would be, because they're tier two.
Would he? Okay, because they're tier two. Yeah. Thanks, Kevin. Yeah. And actually, do you know what, Kevin? Thinking back, and I take your points. Like I'm saying, it's great to see Offaly back competitive again. But, you know, what does that even mean? I don't know. But
Didn't Carlo make a Leinster final there a couple of years ago?
And you know, Westmeath.
No one was saying Carlo are back.
Yeah, Westmeath beat Kilkenny in under-21 recently as well. Like, you know, but I suppose the bigger point, and it goes back to the structures in the GA that we spoke about earlier on. You know, you would like to see a few more counties, you know, transitioning up into the Champions League, as we call it, like, you know, from the lower divisions. Like, so, you know, I think maybe I'm being a bit premature and saying it's great to see Offaly back, but at least they're on some, at least they're back on the road, Kevin, if that makes sense. You know, they were.
Oh yeah, exactly. Look,
completely off the map. Josh up to this year. Good to see them back.
Like, the team they have is. There's so many young enough next year again. Like, keep that bench group together, like, on Offaly. Just keep them together next year, like, conditioning them. They're playing well. Go again the following year. Like, them lads have plenty years left in them, and they might get titles down the line at 20, and that's what they need to work on now. Like, you know, not throwing that in senior level there. Like, they need to win underage first and get up, like.
And another big win for the banner, I suppose, against a very fancy Galway minor team. We've heard that one a few times in the recent past. You know, I think they were hitting very big scores in Leinster, and it's a win for Munster versus Leinster technically as well in the new.
Does that show you how weak Leinster minor is then? Like, because, like, I thought Galway were all right. I thought against Kenny as well. I thought they were, but the Kenny minor is actually poor enough, but still Galway looked past the bubbly.
There seems to be, look, maybe the stats don't back it up at all, but look, and maybe it's only just a 1 year thing, but there seems to be, if it does play out at senior level with the Munster team winning. And maybe even an All Munster All Ireland final, you wouldn't say is off the cards either. Like, there might be a bit of a divide kind of starting to creep in. So,
I think it highlights again, though, Kevin and Stephen and Sean, how important it is for Tip to make sure that our house is in order underage. You know, I've said it several times here in the podcast. Like, if you're not producing teams underage, it's eventually it's going to come back and bite you. You know, it happened to Tip. We had a great team in the 60s, you know, fell off the radar a little bit with minor and under 21 as it was at the time, had the famine in the 70s. The great Tip team, the under 21 team of the late 70s and early 80s, they backbones the team that came along, you know, that a lot of us would have first got interested in hurling in the late 80s, like, you know, and we saw our great teams from 06 and 07 gave the best 10 years any of us have had at Tipperary teams in our lifetimes, you know. So, you know, not to be too long-winded about this, I just think we really need to keep our eye on the ball here. Clare are showing that they're, you know, they're coming with a good team there. Cork, as I said, are very, very strong under 20 and minor at the moment. And I know I'm a cheerleader or a fan for Cork a lot of the time on here, but I think Cork will win a senior All-Ireland sooner rather than later. I really believe that. I think eventually that kind of throughput of good players will see them winning in All-Ireland. So, well, it's great to talk about other counties and look at other counties. Just like I would really, really implore everybody involved at Tip underage level to not take our eye off the ball. We've got to drive on here, and you know, we don't want to be left behind.
Absolutely. Before we go, let's speaking, I suppose, of Cork, something that will more than likely, I'm going to put my, you know, like, will never be done again. Teddy McCarthy, All-Ireland, both codes, 1 year, dual player. I mean, what more can you say?
Yeah, unbelievable. And 58, was it?
57, I think. Yeah,
57. That's terribly, that's terribly young. But like, to do it twice, reach the pinnacle twice in both codes in the same year, like, it's a fantastic, fantastic achievement. And you know, it'll never be done. You know, the likelihood of a county even winning, being a dual county good enough to do it, is getting slimmer by the year, you know what I mean? Never mind a player being able to do it in the same county. So, you know, it's a terrible loss to GA.
Absolutely. As I said, there's like when a young man, Colin, you would have probably, a little bit older than us now, you probably would have remembered him in his prime.
Oh, yeah, Kevin. Look, I mean, I go back to Killarney in 87. Like, I think Teddy got 3 points that day against us, you know. There's an iconic picture of him in the drawn match, even where he's going up high over Colin Bonner to catch a ball, like, huge leap on him, you know, great guy to take a score, probably not the greatest sticks man in the world, if that makes sense, but super heart, super leap in on him, you know, just an icon. I genuinely was taken aback when I read that last night. Like, it just makes you stop and think a little bit, like, you know, and like, you know, probably the first player from either of those two teams from the late 80s who's passed on now. Teddy, I know Cork have lost a couple of the footballers from that time, but Teddy's probably the first one from those two teams who passed on. So obviously, you know, sympathies to his family, to everybody involved in Cork GAA, you know. And I read his autobiography or a book on him a few years ago, and he just came across as a really normal, down-to-earth fella, you know, had a few ups and downs in life like we all do, but, you know, just came across as a really sound guy. So, you know, and I suppose, Kevin, before we go off football, as we've touched on it, just to wish David Power the very best of luck. He stepped down obviously earlier on in the week from his role as Tip football manager. So gave us a, you know, a great year in terms of
the Munster final. Absolutely, the first whole county lift when we weren't expecting it.
Yeah, you know, and absolutely. And like, you know, anybody who's involved in teams, whether it's Junior B like yourself and myself, Kevin, or it's senior inter-county, like, it can be a thankless job at times. And, you know, this year the Tip footballers, they haven't been good. Let's you know, I know, you know, you can only imagine, I don't know, but I can only imagine the hard work that's gone into preparing the team. And, you know, David lost his mom, unfortunately, in a few things this year. Like, so it's been a tough year for him personally. So just like to wish him all the very best of luck going forward and whatever he does. I'm sure he won't be without offers going forward from other counties and other teams. So we owe him a debt of gratitude for 2020. And the fact that it happened during COVID as well, it was something that lifted our spirits at a very dark time for the country.
You know, in that jersey, Colin. In that jersey
mm-hmm. as well, Kevin. Like, you know, so just to wish him the best of luck.
Absolutely. And I think that's, you speak for all there on the pod as well. You know, we'll cover the football season in more depth, I suppose, in the next few weeks as the dust settles. I suppose it was a disappointing, but Davy Power is definitely someone who's greatly enriched Tipperary football for the last 12, 13 years. And I'm sure he'll be back involved in some capacity again, and he's plenty more to give.
Right, lads, we'll wrap it up. Thanks a million for that.
Thanks, man. Cheers, boys.
Cheers, boys. Good luck.
Deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.